Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carr, no, the Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. We've got a great show for you today. You know, if I gave you the lineup of the Yankees yesterday, you would have said, what team is that? As they are bringing guys up left and right from the minors to try to get them through a day after the day-night doubleheader against the Red Sox. And by the way, Brian Mitchell did a good job. But the offense, once again, non-existent. I do have the answer, however, for the Yankee pitching staff. We'll get to that in a second. You got some NBA news, of course. You got some good news for the New York Mets long-term and a lot of stuff in between. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know what? I'm doing all right, Craigie. And, you know, I think it's obvious the Mets are done. You could say that. And if you're a Yankee fan, you wake up this morning, you're like, okay, at least the Boston Red Sox lost last night to Toronto.
And Mitchell pitched well.
He did, but, you know, let's face it, you know, Zach Wheeler, you know, he gets around the fifth or sixth inning, it's done. You know, and he's obviously coming off of UCL surgery and everything else. He's just not ready. You know, he's just not ready to take it to the next level. Maybe he will be come September. Who knows? Maybe he will be next year.
Almost doesn't matter.
But, I mean,
now,
he walks three guys in the fifth inning, right? And you see it coming apart.
Yep.
And luckily enough, he gets a guy to hit into a line out. And he walks off, and then the next inning, all hell breaks
loose.
Yes. And then Hansel Robles is just...
You knew exactly. Once you saw Robles, I think everyone said the same thing. All
you know, Hansel Robles was great, you know, the last couple of years, and, you know, just he's off, too. It's just like anybody who has a chance to, like, stop it and start it over again to start winning.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, Steven Matz on Sunday or Zach Wheeler yesterday or... Or whoever, or you know, and it's crazy when we hit home runs. It's like single home runs.
Right.
There's no two run, three run home runs.
You're already down five runs.
And then of course, you know, you have a 3-0 pitch last inning, and what does Cespedes do? He swings and he hits it into a double play.
Right.
I mean, so it's this kind of year it is for the Mets. It's selling time. It's starting to look forward to next year. Try to maybe in some way, shape, or form, if you can, rebuild the minor league system and all that other stuff. You know, the stuff that Brian Cashman tried to do last year. So
yep.
It's just a matter of time now for the Mets. Here's the one thing I will say. I watched from start to finish yesterday the New York Knicks press conference.
You did,
and,
okay.
And Steve Mills said more yesterday than he had in the previous 3.5 years combined.
By far.
And it just goes to show, at least this is what I took out of it.
Okay.
I took out of it. This is the right thing to do for the Knicks. It is definitely the right thing to do for the Knicks. I don't know Scott Perry at all, but he seemed to say all the right things. You know, I saw a general happiness between the three men up on the dais, and even Jeff Hornacek spoke yesterday, which was something
It was actually a proper press conference.
It looked good.
Steve Mills, I thought, came across well.
He did come across well, and this is why I was saying, this is the guy that should have the job, give it to him, he knows the inner workings, he knows what's going on over there. It sounds like he's going to allow Scott Perry to have some freedom to do some things within the basketball
Scott Perry, if you've never heard of him or you haven't Googled him yet, Scott Perry has the basketball chops and experience.
Well, they both do.
He's been there for damn near 20 years, and he's worked with and for some great basketball people.
Right. So I take yesterday with a grain of salt. I know that they're not any closer to a championship simply because of their roster and because of the Carmelo cloud hanging over the franchise. And don't think for a minute. I mean, they're saying the right things yesterday. They're not going to buy him out. I wouldn't buy him out either, but they all know that he has to be moved.
Yes.
And I think they're just trying to figure out what's the best situation.
Well, I also think that they know for a fact now that whatever team it is, whether it's Houston, Cleveland, Portland, whatever it is, that they will be able to trade him before the season, meaning they'll get something in return.
Well, you hope so. I mean, and, you know, the thing is that there are reports out of Cleveland that LeBron is pissed off because they can't do anything right out there. And, you know, and I keep hearing this word dysfunctional attached to Cleveland. I'm like, if that's dysfunctional, I want dysfunctional.
Come here. Right.
I'll take LeBron and all the dysfunction that comes along with
it. Well, LeBron's deal is that LeBron ultimately, you know, is in charge of everything, but doesn't want the public to know he's in charge of everything. And then when they make moves, he tries to distance himself from those executive moves and then comes out publicly and complains about the moves the team made. I mean, they fired a general manager. He had his coach replaced. And they bitches that we're not adding enough players, which to me is a joke because, you know, Michael Jordan never complained about, you haven't given me enough players to play with. Right? So I get it, Golden State and now Houston, and we're building these ridiculous super teams of all-stars. You're LeBron James. You have all-stars on your team as well. You just weren't good enough this particular year to win.
Yeah, you have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on your
like
team.
These guys now have to have five Hall of Famers playing with them, or, you know, I'm disgruntled. I don't like what my team's doing. At the end of the day, you're supposed to be the greatest player on the planet who makes everybody so much better, like Jordan did for Pippen and Rodman and Kukoc, et cetera, that you can overcome the all-star team you're going against.
Well, it's almost impossible.
I mean, listen, game three, you're up 6 points,
When that all-star team has, you know, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry on it, forget it.
I get it.
Forget it. You don't have a chance.
And they damn near Paul George this year, too.
And nobody has a chance. You know, that's the thing. I'm telling you, unless somebody gets hurt in Golden State, it doesn't matter. But I don't care about that.
Right.
What I care about is what seems to me yesterday was a very competent, very upbeat, very happy press conference for the New York Knicks, where, you know, you could see that Steve Mills is in charge.
Yep.
He's got the big seat now. There's no question about it. He hires a competent GM the way it should be done. And it seems like Jeff Hornacek is relieved that he could actually talk about possibly playing defense.
And just being coaching.
But that's the other thing that, you know, that they were talking about yesterday. We got to be athletic and we got to be defensive minded and we got to be long, all those things. That's great. None of that. Fits the bill for Carmelo Anthony.
Listen, he's obviously a great athlete, but he can't get up and down the court.
He's not young.
He's not playing defense.
He's not young.
And he ain't young.
And
I'm with you. Listen.
And he's not athletic.
I actually enjoyed the press conference yesterday. And I know we're no closer and won't be for a while to the prospects of a championship, but I liked it. It was competent. They were clearly on the same page. There was no specter of, you know, of a Phil Jackson type figure there. Steve Mills, I thought, came across really well. I also like Perry. I never heard him speak before. I thought he had a great command of his position, and I thought it was all good. So in a year of total dysfunction and clown-like circus atmosphere, I thought yesterday was a step in the right direction.
You know, for those people that
I said,
know,
you agree, I think.
No, I do 100% agree. And I said it the day that Phil Jackson was fired with Wally Szczerbiak in here. You know, we're talking about David Griffin and all this other stuff. Just give it to Steve Mills and let him make the decisions. He's been in the NBA for 16 years. He's been here for 3.5 years. He grew up at Roosevelt, Long Island, right around the corner from Dr. J.
He played at Princeton, right?
He played at Princeton, went to Friends Academy, where Gunnar went
to school.
I'm
good with it, man.
I mean, so the guy's a local guy. Let the guy do it. Let's see what he can do. And let's see what his relationships behind the scenes can mean for the Knicks. Nothing's going to happen in terms of championships or anything within the next 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
Nothing. Now it's a rebuilding process. And we as Knicks fans have finally got to say to ourselves, okay, we get it. We know where we're going. Kind of like if you're a Nets fan, the five of them that are out there that have watched Sean Marks do this now for a year and a half. You now know, at least you know what they're trying to do.
Yes, you know there's a plan in place. And I I'm with you. I thought yesterday was the first good or decent day for the Knicks in a long, long time. Now, as far as the Yankees go, you know, many people think the biggest problem for the Yankees is pitching. I don't agree with that currently. Their offense has been sputtering,
well,
of course.
Well, I mean, currently, if you look at the last couple of days, you'd say, okay, the pitching's been okay. The offense hasn't been there.
I have a solution for you. Now, I don't know if you watched much of the game at all. But at one point, boom, there was the Twins had the bases loaded and nobody out, okay?
Yeah.
And Miguel Sano was up at the plate. That dude's a stud, by the way, right?
Okay.
He hits a ball like, ping, I mean, killed it, right to Aaron Judge, okay?
Right.
Aaron Judge does a one-hop, I guess you call that the old crow hop?
Yep.
throws a one hopper
that's
to the plate.
Unbelievable play.
By the way, his momentum's not even really coming forward.
It was unbelievable. If we had one person in the outfield on our softball team that could throw the ball like that, we would have no problems.
He throws the dude out on a hop, one hop, and it's a hell of a throw, right?
Yep.
So they have this. Of course, now you have to go to the old how fast and how hard did he throw it? How hard do you think he threw that ball? Miles per hour?
98.
98 miles per hour. Yeah. I guess you saw that story already. Mm-hmm. I guess you saw that. You knew that. So you decided to just stop the story there.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, you asked
Aaron
me.
Aaron Judge. Pitcher.
98. No, I'm not making him the pitcher.
Just throw the heat. I mean, that guy's clearly the MVP of the league. He does everything.
Except hit.
If you watch that guy, was one for his last 21.
He can't hit anymore. You know, that home run derby took it all out of him.
He'll be just fine. You saw
what's next, like a back injury?
See, why do you do that? You and Chris Christie are very similar in that.
No, I'm not very similar.
I'm not rooting for the injury, but gosh, what would happen if a guy got injured?
I will say this.
So you put it out like a Malloy.
Dude, you know how I am. I'll say this. I am rooting for that kid. Yeah. I am 100% rooting for that kid. You know why? Because when you listen to him talk about what he's doing and how he's become the face of Major League Baseball, and I think Rob Manfred made a mistake by saying that.
Probably put too much on it.
Just add too much pressure on this young man. But he does everything the right way. And that was a seed from right field.
It was a seed on a line. It was beautiful. I mean, there aren't 10 other outfielders in the league today that make that throw.
Well, whatever. I mean, you could sit here and you want to rank them.
Be
I don't know. You want to say, well, you know, what's
I'm not looking to rank them.
Who's your Mount Rushmore of outfielders that could throw guys out of the plate? Is that what you're trying to get to?
No, I'm just saying that is a throw. Now listen, that is a throw that most guys are not making. That's all I'm saying.
You know what you say there? Part of a five-tool player package.
That is a five-tool player package. He's a window thrower.
He's a window freaking thrower.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
I guess I'll address that later today.
Address what? Window throwing?
No, yeah, I'll address the home of the window throwing.
Well,
apparently I'm in a war now, or a battle of some kind. So I'll deal with that later today. Don't think I won't, because I will.
With Michael Kay or
no,
with who
with,
now?
No, with R-Mike.
Oh, Armike.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah, you're going to love that. Mm. Let's spend the entire day having people critique the tryouts on The Fan, because that's great radio. In any event, I would say this.
Hey, who'd you like?
Okay.
If they do add Chris Christie, you know, that just makes this radio station so much smarter than it was.
Right, for sure.
I mean, really, honestly. I mean, there's actually somebody competent.
Just pure intellect.
Yeah,
because right now, for us to be the smartest guys here, it's not saying a lot about the radio station.
Well, speak for yourself, dude. I mean, you know, I'm not going to agree with that.
I mean, just because you graduated college doesn't mean anything 4 years later.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right.
I mean, we all got a piece of paper on a wall.
That's true. That don't mean nothing.
It don't mean nothing today.
But if you go by resumes, it means something.
Well, it depends if you're looking for a gig or not looking for a gig. And See,
that's quality
that's
radio
intellect
right
there.
That's highbrow,
intellectual type conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly right.
Why wouldn't you want to have a guy? Well, never mind. I don't want to get into it. I don't, you know, whatever they decide.
Right.
I will support it 100%. You know why? Because I consider myself a team player around here.
Well.
And when you're a team player, you know, you got to make sure that you're supporting the team.
Well, that would be nice if that applied to everyone. But yes, whoever gets the job, we will be supportive.
I'm a team player, dude. I will be supportive that, you know, whether a friend of ours gets it or somebody else gets it or somebody that we don't even know may get it. Who knows? So what?
So that's what?
That's what I'm talking about.
And then, of course, it means absolutely nothing, but Lonzo Ball was the Summer League MVP. It's not like they played 30 games, but the kid played great. So step one in his move from UCLA to the pros and all the expectations.
Smooth, baby.
Couldn't have gone any better for that kid.
That kid, he looks...
He's got to figure out what sneakers he's wearing, and then he's good to go.
Man, he looked good, man. He just looked so smooth and so easy. Everything was so easy, and... You're talking about, it's Summer League. I know all that. But, you know, when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came into the league, everybody knew they were going to be great. Everybody knew it beforehand.
Yep.
And then when you watched them in preseason and as their rookie seasons went on, what did you see? You saw great passes. I mean, Larry Bird could shoot lights out.
Yeah, but they knew they saw the court, unlike most.
Right. It's like Mark Messier trying to throw a pass. The first year that he was a Ranger, the first like 20 games, the guys that he was playing with, like, what is he trying to do? We're not really sure. And it took a while for everybody to understand just how great and how
how he saw,
he
the
saw
ice.
Things develop before they developed. I got you.
Right. So that's the same thing that this kid has. This kid has the ability to be an unbelievable passer. And what does that mean? That means everybody on the court with him has got to be awake at all times.
Ready to go.
That means everybody on the floor is going to have opportunities to make plays and to score points, and that he is going to make everybody around him. This is the thing that Carmelo does not do if you want to just transfer to the Knicks. He's going to make everybody around him happy. When Jeremy Lin took over for the Knicks, that 3-week run that he had,
right.
Everybody was happy. Everybody.
Well, almost everybody.
Well, I mean, the guys that he was playing with were happy.
Yep.
And the fact that the ball was moving around, the fact that guys were flying out of, you know, remember Landry Fields?
Yeah.
I mean, my God, that guy all of a sudden became Michael Jordan for 3 weeks.
You know, the problem with Landry Fields is that it didn't happen this past year, or else he would have gotten about $50 million.
True, but the point, I guess, that I'm trying to make about Lonzo Ball is that his basketball IQ is obviously off the charts, and he sees the basketball court exactly how all the scouts says he does.
Yep.
At least when he was in college, in high school.
As a point guard, he's got those skills that can't be taught.
And he's 6'7". Now, I don't know about his brothers, but if his brothers have half the talent that he has, you know, they're going to be pretty good players as well.
We're going to tell that, of course. You got the Mets. I got good news in that. Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard start throwing this week. And, of course, the New York Yankees got bad news in that Pineda will have the surgery for the with Tommy John. And, again, they play a game that you think on paper they should win, and they lose 4-2. Lots cooking. We'll get all your calls.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
I don't think Jerry was critiqued at all yesterday, but he's also not trying.
I was not critiqued.
Nice. That's good.
I don't know what that is
like
reference to, but okay.
Guest hosts and whatever else is going on around here. You know, yeah. you just stay in your lane. You do your job. You work with Al Dukes in a pregame show.
Stay in your lane.
So it's a warm-up show.
It's a warm-up show, whatever you call it. And then you guys have a podcast that you do together.
I don't know why you guys haven't thrown your hats in the ring.
Post-game podcast.
You guys do a show here. It's a highly rated quarter hour.
Well, right. Al doesn't know sports, though.
I think we've proven that the less sports you do, the better for ratings.
That's true. You're exactly right.
In any event, you're sick again, aren't you?
I don't know if I'm sick or have allergies because I feel fine. I actually feel okay, but there's something.
Yeah, like a sinus hangover.
Your skin is very, very tan.
Yeah,
dark.
I look fantastic.
But you look better now than when you first came back. When you look, your face looked dirty.
You almost look Mediterranean.
Well, maybe that's because you shaved. I don't know.
Perhaps that's what it is.
Remember, I told you you're healthy. You have a great tan, but you look like you had dirt on your face.
Yeah,
but now
very dark. I felt
you've
fantastic.
Obviously shaved since then.
I have, yes.
So now I think I'm with Boomer. You look fantastic.
I agree,
but you sound nasally.
I feel nasally, but I feel fine.
How many LA and San Francisco shirts did you buy while you were at the ballpark?
I bought two.
One of each?
This one because I thought this was great for the 4th of July
flag.
With the red, white, and blue.
Sure, why not?
And that's where we were on the 4th of July.
Okay.
And then I bought one that had the giant logo and the Golden Gate Bridge. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, there you have it. We'll see that tomorrow, hopefully.
If you'd like, I can wear that tomorrow.
If you don't mind. Let's hit a little Rutgers on Thursday.
I can do that Thursday.
And
that's
then
no problem.
Under Armour BEF on Friday.
Done.
And I think we have
TikTok stop Monday.
Great.
That's how we roll.
Fair enough.
All right, we're brought to you by Iron Maiden, Saturday, July 22nd at Barclays Center. Buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Twins-Yankees last night in Minnesota. This was actually a pretty good game. Unfortunately for the Yankees, did not go their way.
The 0-1, line to left field. There is a base hit. Frazier charges. Here comes the run. The throw home is wide. The throw to third. Not in time. Mauer scores. Sano goes to third.
That's Sean Sterling
Tabasco
on the fan.
Tabasco sauce.
Made it a 3-2 game. Eddie Rosario with an RBI double as well. 4-2 would be the final as the Twins take the series opener, move to 47-45. Yankees falling to 47-44.
Before we all go crazy about it, it was obvious. And I assume they talked about it before the game. I didn't see it. They had no interest in going into that bullpen.
No, Joe Girardi talked about it after
the
game, too.
Based on
the
Red Sox series and the timing of it in the 16-inning game.
He said he was very limited.
Because if you consider...
Caleb Smith was good, by the way.
He pitched three innings.
Yeah, he was 1-2-3, 1-2-3, then ran into a little bit of trouble in the eighth.
Right, but you consider, you know, you have Cooper playing first.
Yep.
You have two guys that were not expected to pitch for the Yankees at all this year, pitching in this game. And frankly, they did their jobs.
Yeah.
The Yankee offense just was still sleeping, or still in Boston, I guess. But I guess, you know, you can look at the Red Sox, as Boomer mentioned earlier. You know, the Red Sox, you know, they didn't win either. So maybe that series took a bit out of both of them.
It might have. It's possible. Brian Mitchell didn't help himself either. I mean, the one run he gives up is with two out and he drops a ball at first base.
Right.
I mean, that can't happen.
Little League stuff.
Pretty much.
Would you have benched him on your Little League team?
Perhaps.
Really? You would
have considered
it?
Depends on the situation and if the kid's head was in the game.
Fifth inning.
I had a tough time this weekend. We went 0-3.
Oof.
And at one point I went out to the, I called timeout and I called in the infield. I said, give me the ball. I said, this is a ball. That's a glove. Use the glove to catch the ball.
Oh, you did the old school. Yeah,
that's very
boy,
upset.
Jerry. I love that, man.
So it depends on where we were in the game. It was like they were up late.
Did you have one of those Little League games where no matter what happened, you couldn't get anybody out in an inning?
We had that in the second game on Saturday, yes.
There's a tournament?
Yes. We were winning 4-1 in the fifth inning, and then we gave up 10 runs. And it didn't matter where the ball was hit. Our guy wasn't there.
Got it.
It was one of those.
It's a good life lesson, these kids.
Yes.
If you want, I can tell you what a great tool, not that you'd need my advice, but you know, you paint a face on the heel of the glove, like two eyes and a nose and a mouth, or just eyeballs if you want.
Yeah.
And you tell them that if that glove's not open, that glove can't see the ball. So open your glove, son.
They're 12.
Yeah, they don't need that anymore. They need to be.
Maybe by belittling them, it reinforces the basics. Hey, if those eyes can't see the ball, they can't catch the ball.
I got a great idea for you, Jerry.
They need to go to sleep the night before. That's what they need.
Well, I got a great idea for you. Do you have a fungo bat?
I don't use a fungo bat.
Well, you should get a fungo.
Right.
And then line them up on the first baseline. This is what I want to do with our team. And then go down the line and just hit the kids in the shins with the fungo bat.
I had a coach in high school that did that to us.
If you don't start playing it right, but yeah, exactly.
He called it Freddy Fungo. He said, line up, Freddy's coming after you.
Exactly.
I like it.
So
he hit line drives.
They'll react. They'll pay attention the next time the ball's hit to them.
Quick they start making plays.
I mean, I almost did that to Al on Sunday.
Well, the ball hit Al in his right shin.
Al's coming off an injury. How could you do that to him?
Well, the thing about it was Al made a very clean play and then panicked. Because he didn't realize where he was on the field and didn't know what the situation was at hand.
He's playing third base. They're first and second, one out.
So there's a force at third.
Ground ball, and I'm yelling at him, go to third, Al, go to third. He goes, I didn't know where it was.
Because we were playing 90-foot bases, so I was playing way in front of the bag. I lost my bearings.
You're acting like you were handling like a bunt or something. That was not the case. You should have made the play.
I was trying to go for two, double play through to second.
It made a nice play there.
No, he did okay. He did fine.
First game back, he, not in this play. Uh-oh.
I think Craig called me off there.
Yeah, Craig called you off.
Is that before or after you put your mitt in your face?
The sun.
That's funny. Anyway, here's the play that you were discussing, and it is remarkable. The 97.7 mile an hour throw from Aaron Judge.
The pitch. Swung on, a fly ball to right. Making the catch is Judge. He fires on home, and it's going to be in time. How do you like that? A double play. Judge made a phenomenal throw from mid-right field.
Everybody should watch how he threw that baseball and watch the perfect fundamentals of how to throw a baseball, arm angle, the way his legs lined up.
And he wasn't like,
No, he wasn't overdoing it. But you just watch how he did it. It was just absolutely perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Of course, I mean, Dozier was safe. I mean, they called him out, but
he
was safe.
His hand was in the air above the plate.
No, I thought it was tagged. Simultaneous.
Well,
I've heard Ty goes to the runner.
A great, great throw.
But it was an amazing throw.
For the best player in the sport.
Amazing. Stop it.
He's struggling.
He's one for his last 21. Not the time to say that.
Well, listen, as Joe Girardi said yesterday, every player's going to have that type of lull, and he's going to turn it right around.
I agree, but probably not the perfect moment to say it, but understood. Here is Joe Girardi, 2-for-11 with RISP. Runners in scoring position, but actually felt like they did better than that.
You know, we hit some balls hard with runners in scoring position. Didn't have any.
They did. You had the sliding catch by Kepler in right field, and then the hit by Holiday.
What is the Yankee record? Okay,
here's Anthony in Belleville on the fan. Anthony, what's up, kid?
We're Carney Reco.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I hear you guys talking about the window throwing. You know who the original window thrower is, don't you?
Philip Rivers.
Me.
You.
I threw the first football through the window over there.
Oh,
with my boys, the McNeils. We killed it.
Yeah, we did a Jet pregame party.
That's right.
We had all the Anderson windows out there, and Anthony, despite his diminutive size, actually was the first guy to throw the ball through the window.
Window thrower.
Yep.
Take it easy there, Chris.
You're funny.
So what happened?
What happened? What?
With Mike.
What do you mean? What happened?
You said there's something going on this morning,
Oh, I guess what happened yesterday was someone called him to tell him how great the 30 for 30 was and then suggested that I said something negative about it. They never got into what I did or didn't say. So he suggested that I, in his words, not mine, I should shut up until they do a 30 for 30 about me.
Well, he should dream and hope. And you know what it is? He's jealous that somebody doesn't have one about him. That's the bottom line. When he has his, then he can talk. Until then, shut up. Oh, when they do one on his life, which they never will, okay, then he can talk.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you can see things are heating up around here.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great final few months.
It's
going
to be an amazing 4 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he went on this whole ratings rant about the alleged lies that were told about the ratings. Well, we'll get to that later this morning.
Oh, there you go. That's thanks for calling in, Anthony, and charging this whole thing up. You son of a.
Like, obviously, I have all the ratings. So at any point, he wants to throw a dart against the wall and pick any month that he'd like to pick. Just feel free, pick a year, pick a month, pick a week, pick a day, and we can start that conversation as soon as you'd like.
Okay, good.
Because at the end of the day, here as a talk show host, you get judged really first and foremost by what, Boomer? By your ratings.
Okay, by ratings.
Right? And that's the ultimate judgment of the popularity or success of the show. That's all.
Hey, by the way, you better be careful because, the CBS may come in and shut us down from using, any unauthorized audio that he's been living on for the last 10 years.
By the way, so it was funny. A guy on Twitter yesterday posts the audio that that Eddie just played.
Right.
And he sends, and I go, hey, thanks for putting that up there. Really appreciate it. And the guy goes, if you guys want to use it, feel free. Just, credit me. And Al goes, so in other words, if we want to use our own audio on our radio station, we should give you credit for allowing us to use our audio? He goes, yeah, pretty much.
He's up front.
What was the guy's name? Eddie, what was his Twitter thing?
Oh, Mike in New Haven.
Yeah, Mike in New Haven. Thanks for sending us our audio.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that very much.
Saved a lot of time.
You keep doing it, kid. Unless it's illegal, then don't do it.
And by the way, your boy, what's his name? Alonzo Ball won the MVP of the Summer League, right?
Yes.
And the Lakers won the championship.
Who cares, though?
I know that, but the thing about it is that you remember when you were in here the next day after their first game. Oh, he can't shoot. He can't play.
He can't shoot.
I mean, dude, he was there for – he hadn't played basketball for 3 months.
He shot 38%. I
mean, what's more impressive to me than anything else is just how far away he was from that first game when he finally got through the other four or five games.
No, I'll give you that. Listen, he lived up to the hype thus far. He's not a great shooter. He's never going to be a great shooter, but he does a lot of other things. And it's a very small sample, for 6 games, I think it was. But you know what? Give the kid credit because a lot of people rooting against him because of his dad. He went in there.
I'm rooting for him because of his dad.
Well, we'll see. So give him credit. He played well.
The problem when people, and ESPN has this on the front page of their website.
Yeah, of course
he's the new.
The Orlando Magic won the Summer League. Who cares?
No, it doesn't
cares.
Matter. But you know what? It was watchable. It was a watchable product because
the highest
of these
ratings they've
had.
It's probably a watchable product every year. We just don't care about it.
It's a fair question you ask. No one cares about it. It did get great ratings.
I did. I watched it.
And it got ratings because of this great class of draft picks. Here's the reality.
I think the NHL needs to do this.
Stop. Here's the reality with ESPN. ESPN, unfortunately, is a sinking ship right now, and they're desperate for something that people can latch onto that they own. So 10 years ago, a little less than that, it was Brett Favre. It was Brett Favre every minute of every day. Where is he going? What's he doing? What's about Brett Favre watched the whole nonsense, right?
Right.
Then it became Tim Tebow. And it was, I remember Sal Palantoni had a tent at Florham Park. He lived there for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, right? Okay. And they don't have that guy anymore. Alonzo Ball, because of his dad and because of what he did thus far, is now that guy. So what ESPN's doing is they're making themselves basically, because there's no one's watching the network right now, other than when there's NFL games on, they're trying to become the de facto boss of the NBA. And with the NBA's popularity as good as it is, and with kids like Alonzo Ball coming in and living up to the hype, they want people to associate NBA with ESPN, which is why, who did they just hire? The Vertical, right?
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Okay, who's the foremost expert on all the trades and all that crap, right? So it's a smart play. If you think Lonzo Ball, where are you going to see him play? Well, you got to watch ESPN. That's what they're doing.
Wouldn't you do it?
No. By the way, it's smart. But when you say, I can't believe it's on the front page, of ESPN's website. That's why.
Yeah, so they're attaching themselves. Just like they did with Linsanity and Tim Tebow and all that other stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Yep,
and
that's what it is.
I will say there's a lot of pressure on that young man. A lot of pressure.
And I give
him
a lot of credit. I know it's six games. I know it's summer league. And he hasn't played against the real pros. But for what he's been given the opportunity to do thus far, great. Good for him.
Dude, you can see it, man. He can pass. He knows the game. I don't know how his defense is. That's something, obviously, that they'll have to work
and
on.
And not only that, the Lakers spelled his name right on the uniform.
Yeah, that's
so good. They got two up on the Knicks name.
There you go.
How about that?
Jerry, anything else?
Yeah, but we got a guy that's got like 17 consonants in his name.
It's a lot of consonants.
Yeah, it is.
Mets lost to the Cardinals 6-3.
Is that right? There's vowels.
Consonants.
Excuse you?
Not a continent. Consonant.
That's what
say
I said.
Say it again?
Consonant.
Consonant?
Yeah.
Spell that. Because when you say it all nasally, I don't get it.
That's because I don't sound great. C-O-N-S-A, consonant.
You've not spelled that correctly.
C-O-N-S-A-N-E-N-T.
Consonant. You got to blow your nose.
Incorrect.
I don't have to. There's nothing there.
Hold on.
C-O-N-S-A-N-E-N-T.
You did not spell that correct. Hold on.
Is that wrong?
That was not a correct
spelling. I Googled
spelling.
It. I have it in front of me. Try
hold
again, Jerry.
Hold on. Go letter for letter. Wait a minute. Go letter for letter. Jerry will say the letter. You tell him if the letter's right one at a time. C.
Yes.
O.
Yes.
N.
Yes.
S.
Yes.
A.
Incorrect.
C. Oh.
Really?
So you're
is it E?
You lost.
No,
you're
it's
out.
Not E either.
It's I. You. Wrong.
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 Boy. What letter? Consonant.
O. Conso. Nant.
Wrong, wrong, really? Wrong. Well, I've spelled that wrong for 43 years.
Yeah, you want to try again?
Doesn't matter.
I got it wrong.
You don't walk wrong, around having to spell wrong, things to be successful.
Wrong, why don't you spell it right
body
now?
Body by pig.
Just so it's body by pig, that's right.
Wrong.
Why don't you
what's up?
Spell it again now so at least you can tell the kids, when you know, daddy spelled a big word on the air correctly.
C-O-N-S-E-N-O-N-T, is that what you said?
No.
Incorrect.
No.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Why don't we try again?
See, I don't remember.
Try
suck
again.
Away.
C-O-N-S something. S-O. C-O-N-S-O-N-E-N-T.
Incorrect.
A-N-T. Wrong. 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 C-O-N-S-E.
Special sauce.
N-A-N-T.
Wrong.
No, what was right. That one, Jerry?
Sorry. Right. C-O-N-S-E.
No.
No.
What? Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong.
Sorry.
Wrong.
Sorry.
Wrong.
Try it again.
C-O-N-S-O.
Yes.
N-A-N-T.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
now,
right.
Just for the sake of making sure you have it right.
Yes.
C-N-S-S-S-N-S-A-N-T. Now spell consonant.
C-O-N-S-O-N-A-N-T.
Nailed it.
That's what I'm talking
about. I mean, brilliant.
That's
how
you teach.
Oh, I bought a sack.
How you spell sack?
Hold on.
Spell sack.
Spell sack.
See, I have trouble with the sockeye salmon, so yeah. I said sack, my bad.
You bought sockeye salmon?
I bought sockeye salmon burgers the other day,
yeah.
And I couldn't eat the whole thing without laughing the whole time.
Is that
all
right?
I see is the other thing.
The sockeye
salmon. Of Wild Alaska
sockeye semen.
Yes.
How many consonants are in the word sockeye semen?
A lot. Sockeye four.
Hey, yeah, send a sales geek to go get some, Advil cold and sinus, please.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Jesus,
well,
God.
Well, if we're sending him out, can you also get some pretzels and some breakfast sandwiches and maybe a
wasn't it
slurpee?
National Ice Cream Day the other day, too?
What?
Should we get some ice cream?
No, National Moji Day.
No, but Sunday was National Ice Cream Day.
Nah, I think.
So where's
right?
The Carvel? Yeah,
actually, we have Dairy Queen coming on Thursday.
Awesome. Oh.
Well, the guy that happens to be in there hasn't sold anything in 6 months anyway. How about you get out there and go buy us some ice cream or something?
Oh, he saw a lot for Spanish Yankees broadcast.
That is
that's
true. He owns
doing.
It.
He totally forgot about
well, because
guys.
He met a Spanish gal who he got married to the other day. And now he's Spanish is now his primary language. So he's knee-deep in that community trying to sell stuff, which is great.
Nice. Aren't you getting married twice, too, by the way? You're having two ceremonies, are you not?
Oh,
yeah.
Two ceremonies?
I think for each family.
Oh, it's brutal.
Traveling all over the world.
You already lost control. Two ceremonies.
What's next? A gender reveal party?
Yeah. Now I don't want to. I don't want to say anything. I'm sure she's a lovely woman.
Oh yeah. Well,
but
she knows she is. But there's obviously something.
Yeah. That's
missing.
Weird how they met though.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, he was in a store buying condoms.
Oh, that's right. That's one of the all-time best. One size, extra large.
What's your number?
I'm not even kidding. And she's a lovely gal, and they just struck up some kind of conversation. I'm not lying.
I thought that was a joke.
No, he met her. I'm not going to say where, but he met her. He went in to buy Trojans or whatever. And they, oh, interesting. Oh, and you need six of them? Is that right?
Oh,
here's the rubber.
Hello.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
So, what do you think the story with Ezekiel Elliott is? Did he hit the guy or
supposedly
didn't he hit the guy?
Some dude from behind him, kind of similar to like the whole thing with Darrell Revis, check it, came in from behind Ezekiel. That's his current story.
Okay.
And came in, bam! And punched him, may or may not have punched a bouncer, but he was not charged with anything.
Right.
I know it's being investigated, et cetera.
Of course it is.
But here's the problem for Ezekiel Elliott. The NFL is considering suspending him prior to this incident. So the NFL has the right based on, you know, the first it was this, and there's another thing that if you have three or four incidents, even if you're not, you know, guilty of a crime, in which you've shown bad judgment, you put yourself in a position where, you know, police are called, et cetera, the NFL can look at those things collectively, aggregate them all together, and say, you know what? You need to start showing some maturity and figure things out, so we're going to suspend you. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Ezekiel's looking at a 1 or 2 game suspension.
Right.
Part of it stems from the domestic violence situation and investigation, which he could be suspended for that alone. And if he's guilty of what he's accused of, he should be. But you can, even if he's not, they can take that incident or allegation, take this one, start putting it together and say, hey, listen, this kid just needs a bit of a wake-up call. And the only way to give him that is to take the one thing away from him that means the most.
See, but yeah, I mean, this is the thing is that NFL teams go to great lengths to sit in front of the players. And I know I've sat in these meetings many a times, and they warn the players of certain issues that are out there and to try to stay away from those issues as best you can.
Sure.
Now, I don't know who threw the punch. I don't know if it was one of Ezekiel Elliott's buddies who threw a punch or whatever. But the point being is, like, you know, no matter how much you warn these guys, no matter how much you tell them to stay away from stuff like this, inevitably, they're going to be involved with it.
Yeah, because it's hard to view it now as a 50-year-old. You have to view it as a 22-year-old. And my gut is that when you were 22 and new to the league.
I understand that.
I'm
trying to explain the frustration that I know that Park Avenue, the NFL offices, have in this regard, because they go to great lengths to warn these kids to stay away from stuff like this.
Right.
It's like, especially when you're already under investigation for something else.
Listen, it's like the thing we talk about all the time to a blue in the face, and it's, you know, it's like no one pays attention. And I'm only using the NFL because we're talking about Ezekiel. The NFL, I imagine the other leagues do too, although I don't know as a fact. The NFL has a program. Every single player in the league, whether you're the last guy on the roster or the star quarterback making buku bucks, every single one of these guys is given a business card when they get into the NFL. And it doesn't matter what city you're in, everyone gets a card for that city. And on that card, there's usually two numbers. One number is, it's either a former cop, FBI agent, CIA guy, who's your team security officer, who's there to protect the players should they get in any kind of bad situations, and that's the first number you're supposed to call.
And he's not a cleaner, but he's a communicator.
He's well-connected, and he's there because he's got life experience to help. Number two, there's a phone number for a car service. It's typically a limousine, and it's accessible. You say accessible?
I say accessible.
Accessible to every player in the league without question.
Players don't trust it, though.
You pick up the phone, go beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. I'm at 43rd and 10th, whatever it is. I need a car.
Believe me, the Jets and the Giants offer that same service
to
their players.
No questions asked. The way you said it's important. They don't trust the guy driving the car because if you're using that number, more often than not, you're in a situation that you kind of want to keep secretive, I suppose, right?
Well, you don't want to get into a car blitzed and then have some driver, you know, tell the NFL, oh, by the way, you're going to have to, you know, give me more money for my car because the guy was thrown up in the back seat.
Now, here's the issue with Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, who was thrown up in the back seat? Oh, that would be Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, okay, so he was out partying again.
Right.
So that's, like, one of the reasons why the players don't like to use that, because they don't trust the people that are offering that service to them.
So now here's the update on Ezekiel Elliott.
All right.
These are all allegations. Nothing has been confirmed as factual, nor is he even charged. But this is the latest and greatest, okay?
Okay.
The victim claimed that the assailant, who he could not identify, broke his nose, all right?
Okay.
The police report he filed reveals, after the first public report was he didn't know who it was, that he did know who the attacker was. A woman who filmed, because you got to film everything these days, fights galore. If you see a fight, you got to film a fight, right?
Yeah.
A woman who filmed the aftermath of the brawl said that the assailant was Elliot, which backs up a claim made to police by the victim's friend. The woman said the fight began when a woman in Elliot's party got into a verbal altercation with the guy who now has a broken nose.
So
you know exactly where that went.
Oh, God.
Right? Why are you talking to my girl? Escalated. You're not going to disrespect her. Pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes.
Pop.
A man on Twitter, random guy, pegged the running back as the attacker, writing, and I quote, "I saw Ezekiel Elliott lay a bleep out at clutch." Bleep is a racial epithet.
Okay.
Okay? So you've got independent eyewitnesses with nothing to gain saying, "We saw what went down."
Maybe that guy's an Eagle fan or a Giant
maybe
fan.
Maybe. Elliott threw the punch.
Right.
That's all I know.
Well, supposedly he's a hothead. So would it surprise you that he did throw the punch?
He was taken to the hospital.
And I guarantee you that there's footage of it, because I'm sure the club Clutch has cameras.
Well, unlike LeBron's house.
Right, exactly.
Now, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The victim was celebrating his birthday at Clutch. And again, it's social media. Snapchat shows him posing for a photo with a woman at 9:18 p.m., moments before he got punched in the face. Now, I don't know if it was the same woman, but let's just play this out common sense. He's drinking, I'm sure.
I thought he was a bouncer.
No, they're saying this guy was not a bouncer.
Oh, he's not, okay. Initial reports were.
I think the bouncer may have broken it up.
Oh, I see, okay.
So, everyone's drinking.
Yeah.
We get that part. That's
never
obvious.
A good thing. Never a
everybody,
good thing.
Everybody, Joe, let's have a drink. Let's have a drink. It's my birthday. Let's have a drink.
Yes.
Say, and you see an attractive gal. You have no, who don't know who she's with. It don't matter. You just strike up a convo, because that's what you do at bars when you drink. Now, there's some guys out there who see that and go, "Why are you talking to my woman?" Right? It becomes right. It becomes this whole stupid macho thing. "Why are you looking at my woman?" Because she's hot. Boy, I shouldn't look at her. She's an attractive gal. I see an attractive woman. Right? So then this guy who's having the birthday goes, "Would you take a picture with me? It is my birthday."
Yeah.
She takes a picture with the guy. Maybe an arm goes over his shoulder, you know, the old, that type of thing. Maybe it comes around the waist.
Never
right?
know, right?
Right? Maybe it comes down around here.
You never know.
You don't know. Snapchat, next thing you know, dude looks over, sees a girl he's friendly with, maybe even dating, I don't know. Dude's arm is up here or
touch
over
me.
Here.
Touch me.
And that becomes you know, actionable.
Well, I don't, you know.
Pop goes the weasel, because the weasel goes pop.
So, you know, the club has got cameras, you know, the Snapchat, this video, there's something. They'll get to the bottom of it, and maybe Zico will be suspended for four more games.
Yes.
Who knows? God, I'll
see.
Tell you what,
I see the victim here. The victim, this is a Snapchat the victim
Good
has.
Snapchat. I mean, if Al was there, he'd be periscoping the crap out of this.
Yeah, I would be like a European tourist.
I caught a video this morning of Craig DJing in his office, practicing.
Yeah, that's nice. Not right, though. You snuck up on me, though. That's not cool at all.
Only 15 seconds.
No, but you snuck up like I'm going, wooka, 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 whoop. And I look up, and it's Al with a camera on me. Not right. Not right. Especially because I was testing out different types of music. And you totally, you know.
And your new equipment you had.
I have, yeah, I got the whole DJ stuff. Got to practice.
Yeah, I guess you do, yeah.
Yeah, I go, whoosh, 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 whoosh. I called my main man upstairs, too. I called Sheboygan up.
Sheboygan.
And I said, Sheboygan, who you got? He goes, they got a guy named DJ Majestic on the ones and twos. I go, here's what I need. I need Majestic to just, you know, walk me through a good set list. Right?
All right.
An updated.
Nice.
Because I'm playing, you know, Borgata said, love your set list, but you got a lot of party anthems. Right? We want just a couple more currents in there. So I went to Majestic, and I go, after the show, we're going to go DJ together.
Nice. There you go. Look at that.
Because I was trying to appeal to you. I want to play music that you would like.
No, don't appeal to me.
So I had, like, the Led Zeppelin dance. Here's your
some
chance.
Bread.
No bread at a club to do the hump. Because Boomer Love is the digital underground. That's his thing. Then I got a little Guns N' Roses in there for you.
Nice.
Because the crowd typically likes that when you do the...
Sure you do.
The Sweet Child of Mine intro.
Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
Then I had Jason Derulo Swalla for you. Figure go from boom, 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 like that. And I might be bringing Dougie Fresh with me.
You could have a little Chance the Rapper. Hey, by the way, Eddie, don't talk about my musical taste. You know, you have some nerve.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
No, you're not. No, you're not with me. I come in here, I hear what you're playing Spinning Wheel when I come in here, so I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
classic George Benson. Yeah. Spinning wheel, round and round. What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel.
I mean, it's the kind of crap that I walk into in the morning. I'm like, how am I supposed to get up for a show when this is playing in our studio when I get here?
I'm with you. When I say I'm with you, I mean I'm with you.
Yeah!
Your troubles for crying.
You gotta get this on the turntable.
I met a guy that comes from your era.
Yeah, baby!
Okay. So I was at the Thank you. I was at the Otis Anderson golf tournament yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Saw Larry Holmes, okay. Mark Bavaro, hung with Charles Oakley for a bit.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Is he all happy now that Phil Jackson's not there?
I think so, yeah.
But the problem wasn't between him and Phil Jackson. It was between him and Jim Dolan.
So Charles Oakley auctioned off this great thing. Charles Oakley will go to your house and cook dinner for you and 30 of your friends.
Okay.
And you can tell him whatever you want Italian, you want American, you want Southern, whatever it is.
So what's he, a chef now?
And I guess he's like an accomplished chef. So one of the auction items was Otis, Oakley, Howard Cross, they go to, and John Starks said he was into.
They go to your house and eat your food.
They go to your house and they make dinner for 30 of your friends and party at your place.
Okay.
That sounds like a unique type of item, right?
But well, hey, I mean, do you get to throw Oakley out of your house later on in the night? Or
you can role play. You can role probably play some role play if you want. So I see a man who I'm assuming is about 65 years old.
Okay.
And he's shorter. He's not a very tall man, right? And I noticed people really kind of guffawing over him. Like, he's a special guy, right?
Yep.
A beautiful wife. His son's with him. And Otis has it set up that after the whole thing, there's going to be a live band playing at his event. I go, cool. It must be a local Jersey band or something like that. He goes, no. Because the lead singer of that band, his father, is like American music royalty.
Okay.
All right? So I get introduced to a man who only has one name.
One name.
And it starts with the letter K. And they said, Craig, I want to introduce you to...
Constantine.
Cool.
Cool. Mo D.
No, just Cool.
Cool.
I met Cool yesterday.
Cool with a K.
Cool with a K.
And now who's his dad?
And his wife, she introduced herself. I think her name is Sequina. But he said, no, she goes by Lady Cool. You understand what I'm saying?
So who's the dad?
Cool in the gang. The lead singer, the founder of Cool and the Gang, Cool, was at the event yesterday.
Oh, I get it.
And his son's got a really good band. So I met a guy named Cool. And I go, that's me and Cool and the Gang. Have you ever met Cool? At some point you had to do something.
They did one
with
of my events about 10 years ago.
So you had to have met Cool. But he's the original. That's Cool.
I don't know. Somebody was missing, I think, in the group. Maybe that was Tops.
I imagine they've lost some members over the years, imagine.
What's he gonna do?
What you gonna do? I wanna get down.
Gonna get down.
Yeah, so I was hanging out with Cool yesterday.
Get your freak on.
You wanna get down?
Yeah, get your freak on.
It's not every day you meet Cool. You know what I'm saying?
You wanna get down?
Cool. What you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Get down on it.
Going down.
Okay. What?
Go going down.
I had this to the set list.
This is like a party anthem.
Going down.
They said too many party anthems. Can't have enough, too much.
Going down.
We got it now.
Jesus.
That was great. He goes, I'm cool. Yeah, he was cool, too. Coolest guy in the room, you know? It's very hot yesterday.
You know, Jay-Z's got a real name.
Yeah, Jay-Z does.
Didn't he just name his kid Carter or something like that?
Did he?
Or something like that?
I didn't see the name. I saw the picture of Beyonce with the twins.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Kids
his last name is Carter, right?
I didn't see the names, though. Is it Carter?
Some of these
celebrities. Listen, I named my kids, you know, names that are not the ordinary names either. But what do you got? You have Blue Carter. That's the daughter.
B-E-A,
one Sean. Word. Sean, a second.
I don't know. Is that right? I don't know.
You tell me.
Rumi Carter.
What is it?
Beyonce gave birth to Rumi Carter.
Rumi? Like rumors, Rumi?
R-U-M-I.
All right.
Along with twin Sir Carter.
Sir Carter Carter.
Sir Carter. No.
Sir Carter Carter.
No, I think that's Rumi Carter, Sir Carter, Blue Carter. I think it's like that.
So I don't think it's Carter. His first name is Sir.
But now you're talking.
It's not Sir Carter Carter.
No, it's just Sir Carter.
Okay.
That's fresh.
And it's Rumi Carter.
Rumi and Sir, right?
Right.
That's all, by the way, when your mom's Beyonce and your dad's Jay-Z, it don't matter what your first name is. You're cool, right?
That's right.
You just you show up in kindergarten.
But at the end of the day.
You're cool.
But at the end of the day, Beyonce and Jay-Z are parents just like the rest of us.
Right.
They have the same issues that we all have.
Yes.
We want the best for our kids. We'll do whatever it takes to get, you know. And
which one of my seven nannies is going to change that kid
whatever,
when he
yeah,
goes?
I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, they have the same hopes and dreams for their kids as we have for
ours.
And
their kids look at them as nothing special but mom and dad.
That's right.
Right? That's all it is. They will be very unimpressed with their parents until they get to an age where they maybe appreciate their success. Like your kids are too young.
Like, my kids started to understand when they were 5 and 6, they started to understand what I was doing, and then I retired.
I wonder this. Real quick, I don't have to take a break.
They used to like coming to the stadium. Daddy's a football player. Daddy's playing.
I wonder this. This is what I wonder.
Okay.
Now that Gunner's an adult man, he's in his mid-20s.
Right.
Relationship has to change because now you have an adult relationship, although you'll always be his dad and he'll always look up to you, blah, 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 blah.
Whatever.
My question, though, is as an adult now, does he ever verbalize an appreciation for your accomplishments or for you as a football player? Does he ever ask you to like walk him through and tell stories? Or is he ever like in awe of, hey, my dad played in a Super Bowl. Dad, tell me about that. Walk me through that. Does that ever happen?
No.
Huh. Never?
No, it doesn't, no.
You never have like the adult convo about life?
No. I think, you know, no.
You ever talk about, let me tell you this one time in Hawaii, I'm getting my nails did.
No.
Because I always got pedicures in Hawaii. That
right,
was your
exactly.
Thing. He doesn't ask?
No, I never asks.
Don't you find like he should ask?
No, he's got to live his own life. He's got to do his own thing.
No, wouldn't it be nice?
Well, when I invite him to the, premiere of Dunkirk in IMAX tonight, he's like, oh, I'm all over that.
And then daddy's cool.
Dad's got us access to
he never has the emotional.
Premiere of a major motion picture that's getting all sorts of great reviews and everything. Yeah, dad's cool. Then.
Let me ask you this.
What's that?
Maybe you're the type that wouldn't
Gunner's
share.
Gunner's not an emotional guy.
Fair enough. But does he ever say, Dad, walk me through your rookie season?
No.
And you may want to share these stories with your son, because you're not sharing them with Sydney at this point.
No.
Right? And Matt's Canadian.
I got to live through the whole hockey thing with them.
Right. So don't you think Gunner once in a while should be like, hey, Pop, let's go have a whiskey and let's just BS like men.
No.
No. Let me tell you what's going on in my life.
No.
If you want me to fill that void for you, I can be that
That's
son.
A whole nother lifetime ago, man.
I'm going to fill that void.
No, you're not.
Once a month, are going to have...
No, we're not. We already have Karaoke Wednesdays. Why do you always want to add something to it?
Because I think you want to share these personal stories.
No, I don't need to share
The ones that you don't share on the air, like emotionally. When you were in the locker room right before the Super Bowl was going to start.
All right, this is on the air
I'm not
sharing it with
you. No, I want to know this.
Yes.
You've done the pregame stuff. Everything's done. Everyone's out.
Yeah.
The coach, Sam, has given his speech.
Hmm.
Before you get in line, you run through the tunnel and the ba-bing, ba-boom, ba-boom, and the anthem. When you're the last moment you're sitting there alone in your locker before you take the field for good for the Super Bowl, what was that moment like for you? Do you remember?
No.
Were you playing music? Madonna on your Walkman?
No, I was probably playing Led Zeppelin, Kashmir or something.
You
like
don't
that.
Remember right before you went out of the tunnel? Like the last thing, but do you look in the mirror? Do you have like a pep talk to yourself?
No.
Do you take stock of, holy crap, I'm playing the Super Bowl? Does that moment happen?
You know, I think you have that moment at one point in time somewhere along the line. I don't know. A bunch of our guys on the team had played in the Super Bowl a couple of years
Kenny,
prior.
Right?
Well, yeah, with Kenny. But no, I just, no, you don't even think about that.
No, no, come on.
I don't remember.
Don't
I
be macho. Open up. It's good for you. And what's, like,
I have
national
I have
anthem.
No,
national anthem. Do you remember taking stock of holy bleep, looking, seeing the crowd, hearing the anthem? Who did the anthem? Any idea?
No, I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You need to talk to someone.
No, I don't need to talk to anybody.
You need, these are moments, emotional moments that you're.
I'm not emotional.
You're
about
keeping
anything.
Down. You got to no. let them out. Huh?
No, the only thing I'm emotional about now is I got a hockey game on Thursday.
Now, would it help me help you?
Yes.
If I brought Bob Dwyer in, your biggest fan, maybe he can fill the void for you.
No, I don't need any voids filled. Everything is fine.
Do you remember your first play in the Super Bowl?
I don't.
This is troublesome.
Dude, it was a long time ago.
I know, but you're in the Super Bowl. You only played in one.
God,
you're in the Super Bowl. You walk on the field. It ain't just another game.
Eddie, will you please tell him it was 30 years ago?
But listen.
It was 30 years ago.
But it's a lifetime memory.
I have a hard time remembering what happened.
Hey, Booms.
What do you want,
turn on
Bobby?
This mic, Bob. Oh, Bob, what was God. Boomer's first play in the Super Bowl? Do you remember?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he didn't remember either.
I Googled
it. He doesn't know. What was the first offensive play for the Bengals?
Esiason's 17-yard pass to Brown on the right.
Dude, boom. Your first play in the Super Bowl. Get the jitters out. You boom, boom, ping, 17-yard completion, and then you're in the game.
All right, so okay, great.
Then he handed off to Icky Woods 8 yards to the left.
25 yards on the first two plays, and the offense is right out of the gate, rolling down the field like a steam engine.
Then Boomer did a Brooks reverse right, loss of one. Bad call.
That's probably on you.
Okay, whatever.
Bob, anything you want to add to Boomer's life and career?
No.
Nothing?
Thank you, Bob.
Why'd you come,
always good
why'd you come
to
in then?
Yeah, why'd you come in?
You're supposed to fill the void for Booms.
Well, he wanted to do it off air. I'm more interested in doing off air.
No, this is real right now. Share a Boomer moment that meant something to you as a child.
As a child?
Yeah.
How about as an adult, the first time we were in the bathroom together?
Very special
that
moment.
That was very special.
Did you look?
Did I look? No, I didn't look.
It was your idol. It
doesn't matter. Oh, I idolize him for other things.
Yeah, but he's taking a leak next year. Like, I look all the time. And I've known him for 10 years. I still just
well,
make
I didn't.
Sure.
No?
Huge penis.
All right.
I offered for him to look if he wanted to.
Can we? Do you mind? I know your body's changed a lot in the 10 years. Do you mind showing the tattoo again?
Oh yeah, sure.
This is a tattoo Bob got here.
Yeah, it's a nice Bengal tattoo.
That's a. Let me see the side. That's the number 7 right here for Booms. It's a Bengal tiger. Who day?
Which
that's was
right,
the
baby.
Big thing for?
I like it.
The tiger's larger than it used to be.
Yeah,
it is larger. My belly's larger, a lot larger.
Anyway, 7:36. Boomer and Carton.
Good job, Bobby. Thanks there for coming in and clearing all that up for us. That was great.
It's Boomer and Carton mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
John Cena's a manly man. What do you say, Booms?
Oh yeah, I would definitely say so. Yes,
he spends half an hour a day. Doing what, Jerry Recco? Any idea?
Shaving his body.
From head to toe.
Is this your shaving
guys,
his body.
Is this your guys' first day to here on the show?
Shaving his body.
You ask a question,
what's the matter?
What,
I don't. I was talking to Eddie, and you said, what does John Cena do?
Shaves his body.
Shaving his body.
Yeah, that's right. Shaves his body from head to toe.
So what's every wrong?
Day. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Every day, half hour a day. Okay, just let me throw
you do, Al, do you, Al, do you shave your body or just your head?
Just my head. I will trim up the rest, but only monthly or every
throw
other
that
month.
One out.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
no,
ruin
no,
your
be
story.
No, sorry. You just, you know, it's, you know, just keep listening to Boomer. It's not the right, you know, it's not the right street to go down.
You ask a question, we
time.
Give you an answer.
My bad.
By the way, another.
Al, stop. No. Don't stop giving them the show sheet.
All right. You're off the list.
Right,
no show sheets.
10 years later, you know, this. Now what are you doing? Are you drumming with your feet?
Yeah.
We got a little extra energy today.
I was seeing that Topps is releasing.
Yeah, no, thanks, but we're going to get to that.
Cards for broadcasters, huh?
Wow. You're getting one?
I don't know, maybe.
I didn't see any FAN guys
on
the list.
Did you see that while the microphone was in your Adam's apple?
Maybe it's just for the NARPs. that are doing the announcing, yeah, and not the actual
athletes. You were not offered a broadcaster's playing card?
I was not.
By the way, in fairness, you had 12 years of a card. Enough.
Enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bengals, Cardinals, Jets, Bengals again. You had your turn.
Bermuda Triangle.
Did you see who the trading cards were made of?
I don't know.
Joe Buck. I have no idea.
No, I'm asking. I don't know. That's a part I didn't see. But since you guys have the story
wasn't
laid
very
out,
interested
why don't you tell us the
rest? I wasn't interested in the story.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to do a Boomer Esiason broadcasting card, what would the attributes be?
Though we heard them last segment.
Huh? No, I'm asking. That's a fair question, Booms.
Yeah, I don't know.
Super Bowl credentials?
No, wait a minute. I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about my attributes as an announcer?
As a broadcaster.
Right, so all the Super Bowls you've called. Card.
Yeah, okay.
Right,
Jack Bunk. How would it go?
Well, I
like on the back of the card,
go.
Would it say, in 2002, he jumped the
ball. Benatere's field goal try for the win is good.
Yes, thank you.
You think they made a Mike Francesa trading card?
He's the best there is.
The best there is. From the beginning, I was number one. If number four is number one, then yes, for sure. Sometimes counting
is hard. We're talking about number one in sports broadcasting. So in other words, I guess it's the number one sports talk show in the afternoon.
I'm the best there is.
Is that what it is?
Say that again, Alan.
I thought it was...
What is
it? Yeah, there's only two afternoon sports talk shows.
But that's number
someone's
one.
Gotta be one. Someone's got to be two.
So he could say, I beat them. I'm the number one sports talk show in the afternoon.
Yes.
That is specific and that is accurate.
That's accurate if you say the quote-unquote the ratings book.
If you say it that way.
If you say I'm the number one sports talk show in the afternoon.
Yes.
Very specific.
You're right.
Then based on the spring ratings period, that would be correct.
The fall starts in September. There'll be one more book. They get one more shot. That's it. One more. I'm 48-0. They get one more shot.
That's awesome. That's a good line.
But he's 48-0.
Yeah.
That's great.
Meaning that he's never been number two against the other sports talk station. Not every station, but if you just compare yourself head-to-head with the only other sports talk show, yes, you are on a ratings book, yes. But, I mean, that's irrelevant. manufacturing an argument in favor of yourself.
So what are we intimating? What is he saying? What is he not saying?
He was saying that when Michael Kay came out and was gloating, remember I made fun of Michael Kay, saying, we won June.
And you took up for Michael Kay.
Well, I just said, you know, celebrating coming in sixth seems pointless to me.
Coming in sixth now.
Yes.
Now they're in sixth. I thought they were in first.
No. They
All right, so everybody's talking around what the actual specifics are. So do we know how many ratings... how many stations are rated in the afternoon? Any idea?
Yeah, let's figure the 30 radio stations.
All right, 30 radio stations.
Yeah.
Who is the number one afternoon drive time radio station?
Based on the last ratings book, the spring book?
Yes.
I believe it was WLTW.
All right, so it's not Mike Francesa and WFN.
No.
All right, so who's number two?
I'd have to go back and double check.
But it's not us.
For the last ratings period, it was not.
Who's number three?
Not sure.
But it was not us.
Not in the last book, it was not.
So what are we talking about? Why is everybody talking in circles?
I don't know why people bring it up. We've never talked about ratings on this show ever.
I know, but why can't we just... So, okay. So just so we know what the accurate statement should be
what? He's 48-0 against ESPN.
Okay.
So if you compare similar type programming, sports talk versus sports talk... Yes, he's 48-0.
I like his comment where he said that it's like, okay, you scored 10 points in a fourth quarter. So
that was funny.
We beat you 48-20 or whatever it was.
I agree. That was funny.
That's 100% funny. It's good. He actually showed that he could actually say something that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny too.
But it's not. But the way he said it, it wasn't like fun. You know, like no, it was funny it, that he said it.
It never comes across as funny. Mark's very upset with you right now for bringing this up.
Mark,
Boomer brought this up. I had nothing to do with this.
I did not bring it up.
See, now he's going to be mad at me, but I didn't bring it up.
I'm answering Boomer's questions. I just wanted to be...
Don't...
See, here's the problem with politics and with all this crap.
I'm just sitting here innocently.
People just are not specific about what they're talking about.
Right, let's be specific.
Like they'll leave stuff out. just to make sure they craft their argument.
If you
want to
view it as Mike versus the other show, Mike has won every ratings book they've ever gone head to head.
But don't say you're number one when you're not number one.
Correct.
Because you're not number one.
That's right.
I would never say I was number one if we're not number one.
Right.
Okay.
Lucky for us, we can say that.
Well, I don't care. Just keep doing the show. We don't touch the money. We move along, and we kind of hopefully entertain some people somewhere along the line.
Not in that room over there right now. Or there's three guys in there. Two are being entertained. One's miserable. He's very upset with us.
Well, get Chris and Mike back on the phone again and get them in here and make them happy again.
Doggy, we have to take a break, Doggy.
He told me he wasn't talking to Chris for 5 years.
Was it that long?
He said 5 years he didn't talk to Chris.
I actually respect that.
We're talking about
that
Mark
means
Chernoff.
Mark holds a grudge. I like that. That's good. That means he and I are more similar than he thinks. He's a grudge holder. He didn't talk to Chris Russo for 5 years because Chris left, and I don't want to get into the whole story behind it, and felt like it was personal. So there you go. Mark and I are more similar than I thought. He's a big, fat, vindictive grudge holder.
I am the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
Story behind the story. It's the story behind
I would say this, Mark. Considering that your favorite host only has 5 or 6 months left to go, this is a good, a pivotal point in your career. You should come in here and hug us and pledge your undying loyalty to me and Boomer right now.
I have no idea how awkward any of this stuff is.
No.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, I didn't bring it up yesterday. I didn't bring it up today. But, you know, when someone tells me to shut up, you know, and he's so good at everything at number one.
I'm 48-0.
Boomer brought up the facts. Listen, it's not my fault.
Facts should, some things are left out. You know, and they shouldn't be left out. If you really want to talk about it, then talk about what the actual numbers really are. That's all. In regards to anybody.
Right. 48-0.
You can craft anything the way you want to craft it, but let's just be totally accurate. That's all.
That's not asking for too much.
I'm 48-0.
How
long have we been here? 10 years?
Yes.
So that's 40,
until then, shut up.
40 ratings periods?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's 10 years. Yeah.
I guess we're 40-0.
All right, 753
on
the fan.
If you play that out, Boom.
Yes.
In 3 more years, we become the all-time record holder. Let me just say this.
All right.
We're very happy to be here. We have a great thing going.
Yes.
We have really never, ever talked about ratings on this show, good, bad, or indifferent. But I will say this one thing, and then I promise Mark I will leave this alone unless re-engaged. All right?
All right.
If you want to have a battle or attack our show in any level, I'm always willing and game for that conversation. As you know, factually, tangible, provable stats, I'm not going to lose that argument ever on any day against any other show, both in the building or out of the building. So I would just say we can all talk a lot of smack about our successes and, you know, our egos and this and that. If you do want to continue the engagement, I'm good and ready to go with it. If you like to move along and worry about other things, that's fine by me too. But I'm not going to run and hide from it. I'm not going to shut up. And I'll engage you at any level of conversation you want to have on ratings or how you deem success today, tomorrow, and for the next 6 months. So if you want it, let me know. And I would say this. You're welcome to come in here any day and have an open, honest conversation.
Clam up!
And I'll go on your show any day and have an open, honest conversation. I'm inviting you, and I'm accepting any potential invitation to return the favor in afternoons. Outside of that, I will not speak of this ever again.
I'm 48-0.
This is almost McGregor and Mayweather level.
No, listen, I'm saying if everyone wants, hey, one of you might get together.
Little bitch hands.
So I want look at your little brill bitch hands. I would say this. God. At any point that Mark wants to get us together in a room, I've told him for 10 years, I would say yes. We've tried to play golf, no show. We've tried to, you want to come on? Open door. You want us on? Open door. I'm happy to have the conversation on or off the air at any point Mark wants.
We're live in the Investors Bank studio. Thank you very much.
And Boomer brought this up. I had nothing to do with it.
I just wanted to make sure the facts were the facts.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Tom Thibodeau is building that team, I think, to try to, in some way, shape, or form, reflect the team that he had in Chicago, where they're going to want to play defense first.
Right.
And Crawford, very interested, said, you know, because I think that Cleveland was trying to get him.
Okay.
And he decided to go with Minnesota over Cleveland and LeBron. And he said, look, I don't need to be chasing rings. You know, that's not what I'm all about. And the way he put it was kind of refreshing, that he wanted to go to a team that hadn't experienced what Cleveland has experienced, and he wants to be part of the process of turning a franchise around.
I respect that.
I do respect
that. Because at his stage of his career, you could see him saying, I only want to win.
Now, I don't know if Cleveland was offering the same amount of money that Minnesota was, but at the end of the day, he's going there, and LeBron James is basically getting, according to all reports, annoyed with what's going on out there in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know. How could he possibly be getting annoyed?
Well, he's getting annoyed because,
but
you know.
It's so offensive. Like, to the average fan, you're LeBron James. You're the best player in the sport, right? And now all of a sudden you're telling me that if you don't get you know, two more All-Stars, you're annoyed by that? You had your general manager fired. So you got rid of a general manager. 2 years ago, you got rid of a coach. And you were unable to come up big enough this year. Last year, you were so good, it was embarrassing to everyone else. But this year, you have a 6-point lead with 4 minutes to go in game three, and you you take like three more shots, and you're terrible the last 3 minutes of the game. Game four, you win big, and then, of course, you just got your ass handed to you. And afterwards, you know, I appreciate it at the time, I'm saying, I got nothing to hang my head about. We lost to a better team. But here's the difference. This is why when you make Jordan comparisons, Michael Jordan never would have said that. So you're LeBron James. I don't hear this crap of, well, you need a super team to win a title. You're the Superman. And by the way, you are a super team. You created one in Miami. You got another one in Cleveland. And you didn't play well enough to win. Period. Stop. But I'll tell you what, the NBA's got a problem on its hands. Because you have about four teams out West who are legitimate juggernauts. And West basketball is going to be a lot of fun to watch again. I mean, juggernauts. In the East, you don't. You got one team, two teams, Cleveland and Boston. There's not another team right now in the Eastern Conference that can lay any type of serious claim to thinking they're good enough to win an NBA title. Not one. Right?
Yeah, well, the reason I was bringing this up was because LeBron, you talk about bad firings and weird times of firings. They basically dumped their GM right as this whole thing was getting started.
That's right.
It's kind of like the Knicks allowing, or picking up Phil Jackson's extension, allowing him to handle the draft, and then firing him after all of this and still paying him.
The NBA, and I love the NBA, man. I watched a lot of Vegas basketball, and I really do love NBA basketball, and I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I would tell you right now, and I would tell the commissioner of Al Caldum, that they have, I know they'll say, no, it's never been healthier, this and that. They have a real problem on their hands in a couple of ways. Number one, you know, that TV contract with ESPN comes to an end in a couple of years, and they're going to have to lower the salary cap, meaning the players are going to be pissed. There's going to be a work stoppage, a lockout, whatever you want to call it. That's number one. Number two, when you become a bad basketball team and or find yourself in salary cap hell, there is no quick fix. It ain't like other sports where, hey, if you find the franchise quarterback, everything is solved. There are very rare generational-type players where you add that one player and you can go from 15 wins to 50. That's not often. And it's very hard to become good once you become really bad in the NBA. And that's a problem.
You know who the smartest guy in the NBA is right now?
Smartest guy in the NBA.
The smartest guy who is a part of the NBA right now.
Is it a player?
No.
Not a player.
Nope.
Oh, I know who it is. It's the owner of the Houston Rockets.
That's right.
Because he's got a valuation of $1.7 billion in 2.5-3 years. That will go down, not up, because
that's
of the
right.
TV contract.
And he's selling.
And you could sell at a high point.
He's
and the fact that the Rockets
the
are worth damn near $2 billion... You could thank Steve Ballmer for that.
And they just, that's right. And, well, no, you could thank Donald Sterling for that.
Well, you really thank Adam Silver for firing an owner of a team who
everybody
got bamboozled by that girl.
Yeah, I know that, but everybody would have fired. It was an easy political thing to do, fire the guy because he's an idiot.
Right.
So here's the thing, and then overpay for, his franchise. That wasn't nearly worth what it was.
No.
But with the new TV contract coming, that's why the Clippers basically ended up selling for what they sold, and because of the pressure of not having lawsuits thrown at you and everything else.
Right.
So let's find the richest guy in America. Let's have him overpay for the asset. And now all of a sudden, everybody else is billionaires in that particular
club. Yeah, was it Leslie Alexander?
So Leslie Alexander is the owner of the Houston Rockets and has been since, I think, 1993 or something. And
okay.
I bought the team for, I want to say, like $85 million.
It's a good investment.
And now he just signs Chris Paul. They make the trade, sign and trade for Chris Paul and everything else.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, this franchise is probably going to be worth about $1.7 to $2.2 billion, somewhere in there.
It's unbelievable.
And some lunatic's going to come and buy it. And this guy is selling at the high point. He is like, and it's kind of shocked everybody down in Houston because they didn't see it coming.
Sure.
Even the president and CEO of the Houston Rockets, who announced it yesterday, basically said, well, man, I never thought this was coming. But somebody got to Leslie's ear and said, hey, guess what? Now is the time to sell.
If you could somehow convince someone to buy it at $2 billion, that's a pretty smart deal. I put together a deal. I went to that. You told me about that NBA trade machine thing.
Yes.
I don't think this has any shot of happening, but I'm trying to figure out how I can get Ryan Anderson off the Rockets. All right.
Uh huh.
And get Carmelo Anthony to Houston. And let the Knicks, get rid of him.
And involve a third or fourth team.
Right. So I arbitrarily took Minnesota. All right? And it's a total arbitrary move on my part. And they've got, I always forget how to pronounce his first name, Gorgui Dieng, right?
Okay.
Now, he's got a four-year deal, but it's for $14 million, which is a manageable number. It's about $3 million and change a year, right?
Okay.
And he plays power forward like Ryan Anderson does, okay?
But why do you think, okay.
So yeah. I'm just going to give you one makeup trade because you got me into it a couple days ago, and I go, let me have some fun with it. So if the T-Wolves thought Ryan Anderson was a better player than Dieng, and that's the rub in all this, all right?
And plus the money.
Okay, but I'm saying the T-Wolves are a good basketball team, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo goes to Houston. Anderson goes to Minnesota. I've got four guys, two from Minnesota, two from Houston, coming to the Knicks. Carmelo Anthony's gone. Everyone's happy. The only contract you're really taking on is a $14 million contract over 4 years, and you're done.
Yeah, well, does Tom Thibodeau want Ryan Anderson?
Well, I mean, that's the rub there, right?
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to match positions and money to get Carmelo out of here. And if he's only going to Houston or Cleveland, you can't go to Houston without Houston shedding Ryan Anderson. So who wants Ryan Anderson? Maybe Minnesota views him as an upgrade. It's a lot more money, obviously, but maybe it's an upgrade, right?
Oof.
That's all I'm asking. Boomer and Carton on the Fan. And I want to make sure I have that Dieng contract right. Do you think that's 14 per year or 14 over four?
I'll tell you right now.
Google it.
Yeah. Because if it's 14 per, I might change my mind on the trade I just came up with. I don't know how they list it there. Boomer and Carton on the Fan anyway. We'll get you that update from Jerry. You got it there or no?
Yep.
Current contracts. Dieng.
4 years experience. 4 years, $62 million deal.
All right, so it's $14 million per.
It expires 2021.
Yeah, then the deal I just suggested, I'm taking it off the table.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.